Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Good morning, everybody. Great to be here with you on this long weekend. We're going to start you off right. We've got a great show ahead of us. We're going to talk to our lady from Queendom.com about perfectionists and also credit card shoppers and how credit cards are such a danger if you are a shopaholic. Off the top of the show, we're going to talk with Jill Moores, who we haven't talked to in a while. How are you, Jill?
I'm good, thanks, Patty. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Jill, of course, is from a spoiled cat cottage retreat, and we'll talk about your cat and summer and maybe some signs to look for if you have an older cat. Off the top, I'm thrilled to talk with Christiana Capra. She's from Krupp Communications, and I deal with Christiana a lot, booking wonderful guests that she sends my way. She sends great notes and information about everybody. And today I'm so happy to actually meet her and talk about another passion that she has, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Welcome to the show, Christiana.
Thank you so much, Patty, for having me.
Well, it's wonderful, you know, because I deal with you, and it's always so neat. I'm here in Victoria, and you're in New York, and we, you know, talk back and forth a bit. But to actually get to hear your voice is really cool.
Yes, likewise. And I will say, I actually grew up in Seattle, so I spent a lot of time going over the border.
Oh, did you really?
Love you guys up there.
Oh, ditto. I saw today the border is crazy from Vancouver going to Seattle.
Oh, really?
We love our cross-border shopping too much, I guess. Now, Christiana, I want to talk a little bit about what you do in New York, first of all. Krupp Communications. Tell us about your one side of your life, which is your New York and your job that you do with Krupp.
Yes, I have been working with Krupp Communications since they started, actually. Heidi Krupp, who's the founder and CEO, was just getting her company going back in, '96? I think it was that long ago. And she needed some support, and I didn't know anything about public relations, but I needed a job, and I had an acting degree, which wasn't earning me much money as an actress, so I said, you know what, I can do this, and she taught me basically everything she knows, and it just stemmed into a career, which I did for full time. I did for about 10 years. And then in 2008, and we work with a lot of health and well-being and business clients, but a lot of health and well-being and self-help. So it helped open me up to that whole world as well.
And it's great for lifestyle because it's right up where we're talking about all the time.
Absolutely. And I have to say, every guest I've ever booked on your show has come back and said they really enjoyed it.
So thank you so much. Well, you've never had one bad person set my way, so thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Great. So in 2008, I threw a lot of twisted turns and events, and actually it's in a book called Horses with a Mission. I was chosen to have a section of that book about the story of how I found my passionate purpose. And so in 2008, I discovered equine-assisted psychotherapy through the EGALA model. And EGALA is an acronym that stands for Equine-Assisted Growth and Learning Association. They're throughout all 50 states in the U.S., but they're also in 40 countries, and Canada is one of them, by the way. So I really just fell in love with this whole concept of horses being able to help people on an emotional, behavioral, and mental health aspect. So it's different from therapeutic riding, which is fantastic, but it really addresses the internal side of things. And I just fell in love with it and went into Heidi's office one day and I said, I'm going to have to be a freelancer, I think, because I figured out what I want to do with the rest of my life.
Yeah. You found your passion. I know, Jill, you can speak on that, too, because, you know, you guys have the cat retreat, and there's so much peace and calmness that it's given you guys as a family, too, with the retreat.
Yeah, absolutely. Just connecting with with animals and their behavior and how it just sort of does bring that kind of peace and focus, and it's amazing, really.
And a lot of people may think horses are scary. Maybe they've been thrown from one before. They're a very large breed. So I'm looking at your website, there's Spring Rains of Life and Spring Rains of Hope, and we'll explain what both of those are. But you work with psychiatrists or?
Yes, actually, I am the horse side of the team, and part of the EGALA model requires to have two professionals, one that is an equine specialist and one that is a licensed mental health professional. And I was so relieved when I found that out because I realized I wouldn't have to go back to school to get a mental health degree because that wasn't part of my passion.
Well, you seem to make it work, you know, so far, like just learning on the job. So I'm sure you could do it.
yeah, well, the nice thing about it, though, is that I've been able to link up with 4 or 5 really great mental health professionals who specialize in different areas. And this way, depending on the client that we take in, I can call on one of these professionals to do that session, and it's in their area of expertise. So it really has worked out fabulously that way, and I think we've been able to offer a lot of alternatives for people who don't maybe either are in a rut with talk therapy or just simply don't resonate with it well. Because some people just don't want to, they're not comfortable talking about it, or they can't maybe come up with the right words. And the horses are great for that because they don't talk at all.
Yeah, and we're tired of just blaming our moms, right?
Yeah, exactly. But what's amazing, speaking of moms, I mean, we've had stuff come up in session where the horse will start, again, it's all unmounted, so the horses are loose in the paddock or the arena, and the clients are on the ground with them. And we'll assign some, you know, ground-based activities for them to try and accomplish with the horses. And invariably, something will happen with the horse. Will they'll start acting a certain way physically, or they'll start doing something, moving a certain way, or nudging the client in a certain direction. And all on their own, the client will say, well, gosh, this horse is acting just like my mother. And so we'll go, oh, well, that's interesting. What's your mother's name? And so then for the rest of that session, we'll call the horse mom or whatever her name is. And they get deeper and deeper into the dichotomy of that relationship. And by the end of the session, they're able to start to pinpoint some things that are either repetitive or cyclical with that relationship. And then they go home for the week, and a lot of stuff starts to come up that happened just because of that 10-minute, you know, scenario in the ring with the horse. And without saying a word about it at all, to kind of dig it out, the horse just kind of is able to read our body language. They're also able to read our intent and our focus. And so the ones that I've, you know, the horses that we've chosen to do this work are really good at deciphering that and mirroring or reflecting, you know, metaphors that can come up for that will make sense for the client.
Christina, can I ask you, how do you determine what horses you use in this type therapy, and what kind of characteristics do they have to have in order to sort of be able to do this?
Yeah, great question. Ayala specifies it to say any equine can do this work, whether it be a donkey or a mule or a wild horse or, you know, just your, you know, basic, you know, domesticated horse. What I look for, and what I think Ayala also recommends, is number one, that they don't have an aggressive tendency. Most horses don't. Most horses' aggressive nature, if they have any, is caused from some kind of mistreatment or abuse from humans. Mm-hmm. But in general, just to keep everybody as safe as possible, I tend to look for a horse that is, its basic nature is to be calm and safe and inviting and curious about people. The next thing I look for is that they're engaged, you know, that they will, when a person walks in the ring, they're going to come up and sniff them or, you know, kind of try and interact with them. And as we've gone along, I've had different horses work with us at different times, but I have 4 that are my base herd. You know, they're the ones that I really know I can go to with pretty much any situation. And they each have very distinct personalities. I have 1 thoroughbred mare that is a thoroughbred by all rights and purposes. So she's very sensitive and very reactionary. But she is really the one that mirrors the best as far as what is going on internally for the client. She will start to expose that in her own behavior. So she's really good for clients that maybe are really stuck or not really knowing why they're having the problems they're having. I'll tend to turn to her for that. I have a 26-year-old gelding that's been in my life for 17 years, and he's now no longer rideable. But he is incredibly smart and incredibly wise, and I almost want to say, without being corny, I kind of give him the label of a sage, because he seems to know exactly where to take the client at what point in their treatment. And sometimes he can be a little, I won't say rough in the sense of physically, but just relentless in forcing someone to look at something or face something, and he'll really, like, not leave them alone until they do.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about who comes to your services and who can benefit, and even if you're a corporation, team leaders
sure
come and they learn a lot. Back in a couple of minutes.
Rain, sun, snow. We get it right with an accurate forecast. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Your pet doesn't speak English, but you understand.
Hungry again?
Okay, let's cuddle.
I'll get the frisbee.
And Pets West is here to keep your relationship strong with a huge selection of supplies, food, and toys. Plus, expert customer service from Lisa and her terrific team. Pets West, family owned and committed to the community since 1989.
First Mate Pet Foods is BC's only pet food manufacturer. Get $10 off a 13 kilogram bag of First Mate Pet Food at Pets West in Broadmead Village.
Guten Tag, it is I, your car. Yeah, it is true, I am made by the world's best engineers, but that does not mean I am made of magic and moonbeams, yeah? I am metal and oil. No oil, no me, and I simply cannot allow that. Lucky for us both, there's Mr. Loop down the street. They have everything I need, even the vibro blades. So you take care of me, and I will continue our arrangement.
Get top-to-bottom maintenance from Mr. Lube, and take good care.
You've never seen the Wild West Coast like this before. Standing on your oceanfront deck, watching the whales swim, eagles in the air, glass of wine in hand, watching the sunset. It just doesn't get any better.
On sale this summer, fully furnished, absolute oceanfront cottages start from $299 at Souk Point, Canada's best West Coast destination. Souk Point at Silver Spray Show Home, now open every day 10 till 6. Visit soukpoint.com or call 250-300-1645 for more details.
Your neighborhood Fairway Market is all dressed up in celebration of Victoria's Dragon Boat Festival. You'll be celebrating too with hot price specials throughout each store. Fairway is proud to support the BC Cancer Society's Lights of Courage. Choose a colorful lantern when you donate $2. It's Fairway's 50th year of serving Vancouver Island. Fairway Market, proud to be local and fresher than ever.
Fairway, every day, Fairway Market.
We are back in the studio. We have Jill Moores from A Spoiled Cat Cottage Retreat. On the phone from New York, we have Christiana Capra from Spring Rains of Life and Spring Rains of Hope. They're two different kind of things, but basically you cover kind of business and people. Tell us what kind of therapy you have for people.
Great. I think I'll start by just differentiating the two companies because it'll help me explain the clients.
Right.
In 2008, I started an LLC, which is Spring Rains of Hope. It's a for-profit EGALA program, and so with that company, we see private pay therapy clients. So essentially, individuals, couples, families, and groups, that is anything that you would go to see a therapist for, we have been able to work with in the arena with the horses, from anxiety and depression to marriage counseling to, DID. We had the personality disorder, bipolar. I could kind of just go on and on.
Right.
So that's one aspect. And then also with the LLC company, Spring Rains of Hope, we are able to work with UMDNJ is the University of New Jersey that we work with right now to do bedside manner training for their doctor students, for their medical students.
And good idea.
Form of, that's not psychotherapy. That's actually under the code of EAL, which is equine-assisted learning.
Uh-huh.
So that, and then also I'm really trying to focus on getting some corporate work going to work on leadership and team building and negotiation skills and communication skills, really. So that's really what the for-profit company does. In the guise of us building that company, we had a lot of interest from at-risk youth population and also veterans with PTSD. And because there wasn't money coming from those areas, we had a hard time finding funding as an LLC. So in 2011, we opened a sister company, which is a nonprofit. It's a public charity in the United States called Spring Rains of Life. And I know it's kind of confusing because the two companies are similar names, but I kept it that way on purpose, actually. But I'm hoping people will be able to just decipher it. In the nonprofit, we work with three different populations at this time, which is PTSD veterans and their families, as well as at-risk youth and bereaved children. And it's mostly set up in a group scenario so that we can try and serve as many people as possible. And I have to say, my heart is really with the nonprofit work, just me personally, because these are people coming in with a lot of deficits to deal with, and we're able to see some positive changes in even just one session. I've witnessed veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan that come from our Lions VA Medical Center here in New Jersey, and there have been some guys that come in that are on watch, you know, they're on suicide watch because they're in the hospital. There's also been some guys that come in that haven't spoken more than a few words at a time in as much as 3 months. And within the three-hour session that we do, they start talking about their whole life. So I know there's, as Winston Churchill is famous for the quote of, there's something about the outside of a horse that's very good for the inside of a man. I've seen it happen.
That's so
and
neat.
With the youth, which is actually my favorite groups to work with, and we've had gang youth come out from New York City, Queens, and Brooklyn, and we've also had a number of disadvantaged youth from you know, poorer neighborhoods and things like that, where they just haven't had a chance to discover what they have to offer and what talents they have. And in one session, I've seen kids turn around, not completely because it's going to take longer than that, but they leave with a voice of confidence. And I hear later, like 2 weeks later, their counselors will call me and say, hey, you know, this horse session is really sticking with these kids because they've been going to school and they've been showing up and they've been, you know, saying, well, hey, if I could get the horse to walk over those poles and through the barrels all by myself with a piece of yarn, I know I can lick this, I can do this. And so it's just really empowering. I feel very blessed to be able to be part of that situation.
And also, you know, children who are grieving. I have a niece whose mom died, my sister-in-law, Lonnie, 2 years ago, and she was 14 at the time, and she's 16 now. And, you know, I think with young people especially, it's like we just, oh, they're fine. But there's so much that, you know, grieving is such a personal process, and they just have to get through it. But this would be a wonderful way to express something that maybe no one else will listen to.
Absolutely. In fact, I love that you just said that, because we just had a family do some bereavement work with us. And these were, you know, they're young girls. And I think with children, I mean, of course they're grieving. They're missing their parent or their grandmother, yes, or whatever it may be. They may not have the words to describe what they're feeling, but they're still feeling it. And so one exercise that we do with that is to say, you know, we'd like you to take a horse over into a private part of the arena, and we're going to stay here in the middle so we can't hear what you're saying. But we'd like you to tell the horse a secret, anything you want. And I promise you, guarantee you, that the horse will not divulge your secret. And that has been really, really, just that one exercise has been really positive and effective, because they're able to say it however they need to say it without any fear of judgment or like someone's going to be looking at them a certain way. And one thing we try to let them know as well is that with children is that grief is not an event. It's a process. It lasts your entire life. It's going to be with you for your whole life, because the person that you've lost is not coming back. So whether you're 10 now, when you're 25 and you're walking down the aisle to get married, you're still dealing with that loss. So it's a way to find your own place and your own peace with it, however that may work out. But the horses offer a really safe place to explore that.
Jill, I'm sure you felt that when she said that one thing about tell a secret. You felt a little lump, because I can just, you know, how safe would you feel if you could do that?
And just know that it's staying with
The horse. And you know, you said, well, you live on a farm.
Unless he was Mr. Ed. Then he'd really be in trouble.
But are you too young for Mr. Ed, Christiana?
Oh, no.
Talking horse?
I want three runs, I think. But yeah.
Okay. Oh, you're so funny. Horses have something, though, when you look in their eye, right? Their eyes up. But, you know, you don't know what they're thinking about you. Like, are they judging you? Do they think you're all right? Or, you know, you're trying to win them over.
Well, I think what I try to let people know if they ask about that is just to say the thing that, and I think it's with all animals actually, is that the thing that matters the most is your authenticity, your truth. There's an old wives' tale that people say about riding horses that say, oh, don't let the horse know you're afraid. Well, FYI, that's impossible.
Yeah.
They know you're afraid. They can feel your heart racing. They can feel your breath getting short. So they know you're afraid. So what happens is if you try to pretend that you're not afraid, that actually freaks them out. If you just simply can go up to them with the truth of it and say, in this moment, I am terrified, but I'm going to come towards you anyway, what usually happens when you come with that truth is that the horse, at least in my experience with the horses we have, is that they will actually comfort that. They will come up and be slow, and they will bend their head down to where you are and greet you in a way to let you know you don't have anything to be afraid of. And I think it's because there is that honesty there. And maybe with the groundwork that we do, there isn't the fear of trying to ride the horse, that it's easier to just be where you are.
That's very true.
But I think also, and I think also with animals, and I'll say this goes, cats, dogs, rabbits, all the animals that do therapy work, they live in the present moment. Always. They have memory. They know what's happened in their life to them, but they don't ever live in that past moment, and they're not worried about the future. They basically are here and now. And that's a huge lesson for humans to learn, because I think with everything we have going on in our life and technology, how it's made us like kind of disconnected in certain ways, even though it's connected us in many ways, it's also taken us out of the interpersonal part of our relationships. The one thing that animals don't, they live simply because they live in the moment, so they don't get caught up in all this mind talk and chatter that we do. And so just being in their presence helps bring you down to that simple place, and I think that's a good place to reflect on whatever might be going on in your life.
I think you've described it perfectly. I feel calmer already just talking to you, because I think we can feel that, and if we let ourselves be just with that for a while. Now, horses have a long history in our lives, in civilization. Why do you love them so much?
I want to say I think it goes to what I just pointed out, is that even before I knew about this work, and I was just a riding competitor, and I did a lot of horse showing and just having my own horses to ride, I would come sometimes from that New York City job that sometimes was kind of stressful, and get caught up in personal relationships and all the stuff that's going on, and I'd get to the barn and I'd feel myself clenching the steering wheel on the car going, oh my gosh, I'm really like a mess today. And I would go into the stall, and I would just take a breath, and I would literally say to my horse, hey, I'm kind of wigged out today. I'm not really doing so good, but I'd really love to spend time with you right now because I'm hoping you can help me get through this. And I'd get on and ride with that in my mind, and within 10 minutes, I'm breathing again, and I'm focused on just me and the horse, and it takes me completely out of the realm of stress. And by the time I'm getting in my car to go home, I feel totally like I've had a spa treatment, because I may still have all the same stressors and problems to deal with when I go back to work the next day, but it's in a different perspective. And it's like, you know what, that's not going to matter in a year.
Absolutely.
Or even maybe 10 days.
Absolutely. Now, listen, we have a couple of seconds here. Just give us the contact information. I know you're always looking for help and funding and ways to expand this program and for people here that want to start something. So tell us how people get a hold of you and learn more about Spring Rains of Life and Hope.
Thank you. Spring Rains of Hope is our website. It's spring like the season, rains like a bridal, R-E-I-N-S, of hope.com. And then for the nonprofit, it's the same, springrainsoflife.org. We do accept any donations to the nonprofit. I don't know if it's tax deductible to Canada, but we do accept donations. And I will say, too, for anyone listening in Canada that's interested in looking into this, go to EGALA's website. It's EGALA.org, which is EAGALA.org. And you can find a program and
Perfect.
You can look up in Canada. And
Perfect. And if people want to know more, they can get a hold of me, LaSalle@PattyMac.com. Wonderful talking to you. Have a great weekend. Everybody go out and hug a horse. Talk to you soon. Back after the news.
We're more than just your traditional jewelry store. Hi, Jeffrey here from Barclays Fine Custom Jewelers. From our relationships with trusted international companies to the benefits of belonging to the world's largest independent buying group, we can assure the best pricing on the latest jewelry fashions. Every year, we source suppliers that are unique to Victoria, so that all you need to do to find the latest and finest jewelry designs is travel to us.
Visit Barclays Fine Custom Jewelers in Oak Bay Village or online at barclaysjewelers.com.
This is Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Good morning, I'm Ted Jenner with a CFAX 1070 news update. Warm weather has left forests in southern BC tinder dry this weekend. Firefighters are asking people to be extra careful when heading out into the woods. Fire Information Officer Kevin Skrepnek says an unstable weather pattern is expected to bring lightning this weekend, and crews will be busy battling blazes that the strikes spark. The Mounties say a suspected impaired driver they shot and wounded in Alberta is a regular on the reality TV show Man Tracker. Mountain guide Curtis Hallock has made several appearances on the Outdoor Life Network show. RCMP say a man was shot during a confrontation with police after two officers tried to pull over a vehicle Thursday night in Grand Cache. The U.S. government is ordering the railroad industry to make changes following the Lac-Mégantic disaster in Quebec. The measures announced by the U.S. Federal Railroad Administration are designed to help prevent trains operating on mainland tracks of side or sidings from moving unintentionally. Transport Canada has already ordered two emergency orders. It says at least two crew members must work trains carrying dangerous goods and that no locomotive attached to a tank car filled with dangerous materials can be left unattended on a main track. A musician from Tennessee has orchestrated an impressive feat using a paddleboard.
Ben Freiberg stumbled a bit as he made his way onto shore. He completed a stand-up paddleboard crossing from Cuba to Florida's Key West Friday, paddling roughly 111 miles in 28 hours and 6 minutes. Freiberg, who's 35 from Chattanooga, says it wasn't easy.
The seas never died down, and there was a ton of chop, and my stomach wouldn't settle.
But he also tried to appreciate his surroundings.
You can stop and enjoy the beauty of it, too. Things that Mother Nature has placed in the water that you pass along the way.
Freiberg is believed to be the first stand-up paddleboarder to complete the trip. Todd Ant, ABC News.
Look at CFAX 1070 weather for Greater Victoria today. Mainly cloudy, clearing this afternoon. Highs upwards of 21 degrees. Tonight, a few clouds and a low of 13. But Sunday, the sun shall return. It'll be mainly sunny with highs of 23 degrees. Currently in downtown Victoria, it's overcast with some sunny breaks and 16 degrees. I'm Ted Jenner. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. Good morning. It's 11:33.
Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
We are back, and we have Jill Moores from a Spoiled Cat Cottage Retreat with us in the studio. On the phone, we have Ilona Jurabak, who is with Queendom.com, and it's always great when she's on because she does the psych tests and always comes up with great topics. Today, the first site we're going to talk about, perfectionists. How are you, Ilona?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm great. Now, I know you're at the cottage in Ontario, and there might be a storm coming.
Well, it's kind of on and off, so hopefully I will not lose power.
Now, we're going to talk today in the first segment about perfectionists.
Mm-hmm.
And you did a test on that and how perfectionists maybe aren't as happy as those who are not perfectionists. People like myself, we may be happier.
Well, perfection seems like such a noble goal, doesn't it? But there's only one thing that is wrong, really, with perfectionism, and that is that we are human. And it's a goal that is almost unattainable for the vast majority of us. So we've developed a test that assesses different facets of perfectionism, and we've put it online. People took it on our website, and then we analyzed the results. And we have divided our sample according to their perfectionism score into three groups: extreme perfectionism, moderate perfectionism, and low perfectionism. And we have compared these three groups among themselves on a variety of different factors.
And you say, and on these different things, you're talking about doing your best is one thing, but trying to be perfect. People sometimes get into a mess. It's about finding that balance.
The results of our study basically suggest that moderation really is the key. So, you know, if you look at what people are saying during job interviews when asked about their weaknesses, well, perfectionism always comes up, or almost always, in my experience and in the experience of other people who are doing interviews. So, you know, people kind of do realize that it's a double-edged sword, but they still tout perfectionism as an asset. And the point is, you know, if the perfectionism is extreme, it becomes a liability.
So if you're listening today, I wonder what you are. Are you a perfectionist, extreme, or moderate, or low? Jill, what would you think? Are you high level, medium, or low?
I'd say I'm medium. I think I've learned to kind of moderate that because I kind of get away from the core thing of what I'm doing and worry more about what it looks like and, you know, realize that it is a liability.
I think Debbie said that you sometimes would scrub, you know, the grout with a toothbrush or be doing like the little tiny details.
Exactly. And not worrying about, you know, what it is I'm trying to achieve here. I'm trying to get the house clean, not spend 3 hours, you know, making my grout look great.
But isn't that kind of what a lot of people do, though, Ilona, is we do something else to distract ourselves from the big picture?
Yeah, well, we are not focusing necessarily on the right things. And that is not to say that, you know, there are areas of our life where near perfection is really required or expected. So if a surgeon is going to operate on you or if you are flying on a plane, of course you want the air traffic controllers to be perfectly focused and do their best. But the point is really that there is only one area that we identified in our study where perfectionists fare better than moderate and low perfectionists, and that is school grades. Other areas in terms of work performance, that was the biggest surprise, the low perfectionists actually had the best performance ratings. Mm-hmm. I think the reason is that you really need to balance what the cost of a mistake is with what the cost of handing a project late is. So, you know, if you're really striving for perfection, you can go on forever trying to close every loophole, you know, dot every I and cross every T, and it can virtually take forever because it's really hard to get to the point where you are going to be 100% satisfied. So you need to balance it out, and you need to figure out what is really important and kind of put the right amount of effort and focus onto that.
Because low perfectionists don't fear failure like a high-performing person would feel.
Yes, and I think that's one of the key points why they actually perform better at work, because, you know, people who are perfectionists are going to do an excellent job, but they might be taken aback by setbacks, by failures. They might beat themselves up over it. They might obsess over it, and that obviously has impact on performance as well. And basically, oftentimes, in the majority of jobs, you've got to draw a line somewhere. And, you know, frequently, good enough and on time is better than perfect, but very late.
That's my middle name. Good enough. You had a question, Jill?
Yeah, I had a question that do you find, I know I've said this to my kids many times, that, you know, the old cliche that you learn from your mistakes, but I think that's what I've learned in my adulthood with careers and such, that you, if you do become afraid to make those mistakes, but ultimately when you do and you accept them, that you kind of learn from them, and then you find that you grow and that you don't make the same mistakes twice. But I find kids, I don't know, a lot of them seem to be afraid to make those mistakes, even though they, you know, that they do learn and grow from them.
I think that's very true with young people starting out now. They'd rather just not even try.
Exactly, and I think that's one of the pitfalls of the recent cohort of parents, because they are, you know, the helicopter parenting, the perfect parent syndrome. They are trying to shield their kids from failures, and they keep telling them how wonderful they are and so forth. But it's kind of counterproductive because the kids need to learn how to fail. They need to be able to learn how to pick themselves up after setbacks, and how to not let the setbacks or failures reflect on their self-esteem. And that's one of the things that we found in our study, is that the self-esteem really takes a hit in extreme perfectionists.
Just do your conclusion that you had in your write-up here, Ilona, about what you take out of all this.
Well, the point is that working hard is obviously important, and it is going to pay off. But you need to, like with everything else in life, moderation is really the key. So you need to be able to take on projects, to learn from mistakes, and have the freedom to make those mistakes, because otherwise you won't learn. So you need to set high but achievable goals, and use those errors and failures as lessons learned.
All part of life's rich pageant. When we come back, we're going to talk about credit cards for shopping addicts. Back in a minute.
When news breaks, Victoria counts on CFAX 1070.
This just into the newsroom. Callers are reporting a mass.
If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. Now, CFAX 1070 Community Connection.
Brought to you by Dodds Furniture and Mattress.
Hey guys, Taylor here for your CFAX Community Connection. I've now made my way to James Bay Community Market, and I encourage you to as well. Whether you're a local in need of some fresh red peppers or a visitor looking for that unique something, they definitely have it here. Personally, I picked up a beautiful bouquet for my lovely girlfriend, and Natalia is with me. She picked up some fresh berries that looked absolutely amazing. Today, you can find handmade arts and crafts, live music, home-baked treats, fresh flowers, snacks, and even a massage if you need one. Now, you might hear some live music behind me here. That's drawing quite the crowd because they are the O'Briens, who are a family from Birmingham, England, and they've drawn quite the crowd, quite a popular band here in Victoria, and they have even seen a couple chanting. Very talented, great music. The market is located on the grassy area on the corner of Menzies and Superior between the Parliament Buildings and the James Bay Tea Room. So if you're looking for something to do this Saturday morning and garage sailing isn't living up to your expectations, come check out this local venue that has a refreshing atmosphere in beautiful James Bay. I'm Taylor, and this Community Connection has been brought to you by Dodds Furniture and Mattress.
Information alert!
Dodds Furniture and Mattress will beat any competitor's advertised price on furniture for any room in your home. Dare to compare Dodds prices with closeout prices. They volume buy, so their 43,000 square foot warehouse is stocked with home furnishings ready for immediate delivery.
Information alert!
100% locally owned and operated Dodds Furniture and Mattress, furnishing the island since 1977.
As Gordy always says, we won't be undersold.
715 Finlayson at DoddsFurniture.com.
From personal training to sports physiotherapy, chiropractic shockwave, and surgical rehabilitation, Synergy Health Center has you covered for total body wellness.
At Synergy Health Center, we have everything you need to achieve your total body health and wellness goals. A health center for disease and injury treatment, a wellness center for maintaining a healthy lifestyle, and many sports performance services. We've got you covered as Victoria's largest integrated health and wellness team.
Synergy Health Center, near Quadra and McKenzie, and SynergyHealthManagement.com. Life is long. Live it well.
Thank you for coming. We'll be taking questions after a brief statement on the recent shark attack. We've confirmed that a dangerous ocean predator is on the loose. Suspect goes by the name of White, Great White, and weighs approximately 2,000 pounds. He was last seen devouring a seal. The suspect is sure to attack again.
For further developments on this story, stay tuned to Shark Week. Begins tomorrow at 5 on Discovery.
And please stay out of the water.
We are back with Ilona Jurabek from Queendom.com, and Jill Moores is here from a spoiled cat cottage retreat. We get talking so much in the break, Jill, we forget what we're doing.
Lots of catching
but
up.
But how can we forget? Because we're talking about all kinds of cool stuff. And this subject is credit cards, shopping addicts. You've done some surveys on this. I can't even say what it is. Compulsive shopping. What is it called? Onimania?
Yeah. It's a mouthful, but basically it means shopaholism.
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
There is a lot of it, yeah. So that's another test that we have developed for our Queendom.com website. So it's a test on the shopaholism. So it evaluates your propensity to for compulsive shopping and some other risk factors that are related to that.
Now, tell us about your company and if people want to take the tests and how you operate.
Well, queendom.com is a website that is that was developed mostly for women. We do have some guys in there as well, but as the name suggests, it's a queendom, not kingdom. So women go there.
Queens are welcome, though.
The focus of the website is really the psychological tests. So we've got several categories. We've got intelligence tests. We have personality tests, health tests, career tests, and attitude tests as well. And, of course, love and romance tests.
I love it. You always got great topics. Now, shopping has been, you know, we're such a consumer culture. Everywhere you go, it's malls, malls, malls. And, you know, this feeling of getting a high when you get something and then, you know, the downfall, which is when the bills come in. And you're talking about if we have three credit cards, how that increases your risk.
Right. Well, it's a question whether people who tend to have a shopaholism problem get more credit cards or whether it's the other way around. But in practical terms, essentially what we found in our study is that people who own more than three credit cards are much more at risk for compulsive shopping and much more at risk for their budget basically spiraling out of proportion.
And what can we do, though, if we have these compulsions and we have these credit cards? How do we, now with online shopping, how do we keep this in check?
Well, if you... It's kind of difficult because with online shopping you can really find excellent deals and you can end up paying much less than you would in a regular store. So I don't want to discourage people from doing comparison shopping online and so forth. But the problem is that when someone who has a compulsive shopping problem hits the internet and starts browsing and researching one thing, they are bombarded with advertisements and offers for other things that just seem to be such a wonderful deal that you cannot pass it up. And then you end up buying much more than what you really set out to do. So if you are going to research or shop online, my suggestion is really focus on the original item that you are looking for. And if you hit some additional deals, you know, sleep on it at least and make sure that you really, really need to buy that other thing. You know, like if you go to websites like Amazon or Beyond Direct or My Habit and so forth, it's kind of built, the sense of urgency is built into it. So you can reserve an item and then you've got 15 minutes to check out, otherwise someone else is going to grab it. And because you can find these incredible deals there, people just jump into it and go for it without really realizing that they may end up with a credit card bill that is way beyond their means.
How do you find, Jill? Do you go in purposely for one thing?
I just, you know what? I just did that yesterday, and I thought, I'm going to go into the drugstore, and all I need to get is this one thing of face cream. Mm-hmm. To see if I can get out of there without getting something else.
And
I walked out with two things.
That's not
and
bad.
I don't consider myself a shopaholic, but my husband was shopping at a store the other day and he said, oh, well, I got this, you know, he's telling me all the great deals. And then he said, and so the cashier said to me, if I spend another $10, I'll get a $25 gift card. So he went and spent another $10 and got his $25 gift card. And I said, well, of course, now you're going to go back there to spend the $25 and you're probably going to spend $50. So
if you remember,
it's like a very coercive way of you know, rewarding you for spending way too much anyway. But it's amazing how, you know, all the marketing techniques out there to get you.
You don't think you're spending that much.
Yeah.
Or buying that much.
Yeah.
But like you say, one face cream.
Yeah.
It's so easy. Because you might be a clothes person. Mm-hmm. Or for me, I like the makeup or the pharmacy or to buy those things.
Yeah. I feel like I need those horse blinders on or something. Don't
maybe
look
we need to get Christiana back. Horse blind. So we go in and get out. And maybe that's part of it, Ilona, is that we just stay out of the stores, put the plastic away, get a hobby, and don't be always shopping.
Exactly. Like, you know, retail therapy might work psychologically for in the short term, but in the long term, it's just going to take you down because you know, the bills will come. And a lot of people feel like when they are using credit card, it's not real money. But
it's
you
free.
Have to pay real money, you know, to pay it off. And then people find themselves with huge credit card bills, and they are just paying off the interest, and it keeps climbing.
Absolutely. Now, listen, you can find Ilona on queenum.com. You can contact me, Patty Mack, lifestylewithpattymack.com. Wonderful talking to you. Enjoy your holiday at the cottage, and hope no storms knock the power out. When we come
Thank
back,
you.
Talking to Jill Moores.
Shop with confidence at Save On Foods. We're priced right. Assorted Nestle Pure Life Spring Water or Splash. More rewards price, 2 cases for $5. Or Imperial Margarine, 1.36 kilos, more rewards price, just $2.99 each. Plus, for exclusive offers on products you want, sign up at SaveOnFoods.com. Save On Foods, BC's very own since 1915.
For less than the cost of an apple a day, Thompson Roof Treatment can keep the roof of an average house free of moss for its remaining life. Make a healthy choice for your roof with Thompson's exclusive Lifetime Moss Control Program. A proactive approach with early treatment will maximize the life of your roof, resulting in lower maintenance costs. Call Thompson Roof Treatment and ask about their Lifetime Moss Control Program. Protect your roof and its warranty with Thompson Roof Treatment. 385-3124. 385-3124.
You like to save money. You have money to invest. You're a conservative investor, so you don't like risk. And you shudder at the thought of service charges. Where do you go?
GIC Direct.
Where do you get the best GIC rates?
GIC Direct.
How are they so much higher?
GIC Direct accesses an extensive network of financial institutions across Canada every day for the best rates. They're deposit specialists.
Here's what you like. No fees, no catches, no gimmicks. To get the highest interest rates on GICs and term deposits, go to GICDirect.com. And keep your nest egg.
A large, brand new, single-family home starting at just $359. Think you have to go over the Malahat for that? You don't. The home of your dreams is right here at Hazelwood Crossing in Langford. Need a mortgage helper suite? You can have that. Need a huge amount of space? You can have that too. So before you commit to the nightmare that is the Hat, drop by Hazelwood Crossing and let the cutting-edge quality speak for itself. Hazelwood Crossing in Langford. Learn more at Hazelwood Crossing.
We're here with Jill Moores from A Spoiled Cat Cottage Retreat. Jill, I think that line about Mr. Ed is the best line I've heard.
I couldn't help myself.
Oh, you're so funny. And I think that's why people love coming, you know, to see you and Barry at the cottage, because you have a great sense of humor, but you also have a great love of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And it shows, because you can look it up on the website. That's one of your paintings that you did of the retreat, but it's so beautiful.
Thank
and
you.
It's a great space for cats, and
yeah.
People love their pets.
Yeah, they do. They're crazy about them. And it's just a nice, it's just such a nice feeling when people walk in and it's like, oh, this is perfect. You know, their cats may be indoor cats, and they've got a little outdoor space that's all secure. They can go outside and have their first experience.
And they all get along. It's funny because they all, it's like preschool or childcare before they, you know, that they all find their space.
They do.
Their spot eventually, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to worry about them, because as soon as their mom and dad leave, they're fine.
They are. And, you know, cats tend to be, you know, they're very territorial in their own space. But when you put them in a situation where there's no territory to sort of protect, it's all neutral. They're actually very sociable with other cats.
I find that really interesting, because you think, oh, it's going to be a, they're going to be killing each other. But they don't.
You know, as well as like that little, I posted this little comic on our Facebook page, and it was all these cats are hissing at the new cat in the class, in the classroom. And that's sort of how it goes. I mean, when a new cat comes in, you know, the first day or so, it's a little tense. A few hisses, a few, you know, but that's pretty much as bad as it gets. And they just settle in there, and they actually start playing with each other. They'll often snuggle up together. You know, it's almost like they've kind of known each other before, maybe in the shelter or
yeah, the past life. And I know our cats, Linda and, Mr. B, we call him Butterscotch. But now Rachel's friend Paige thought, he's getting older, we call him the Scotch. He's you know, graduated.
Yeah.
But they come there, and they both have a different role. Linda's more at the front desk, and the Scotch
kind of
hangs, right?
Yeah.
Now, you're also talking about older cats. Linda's getting older, and this time of year, they display a few different, I don't know if it's dementia or what, but you were talking about the importance of water and hydration.
Well, I think, you know, dehydration that we've seen or learned with cats, especially older cats, whose kidneys are maybe not functioning as well as they used to, and it can cause a whole host of other issues, and it's as simple as that. That's why oftentimes when people take their cats to the vet when they're not feeling well, it's the first thing they do is hydrate them, and it's amazing how much better they feel just having that extra fluid. But I think that especially in the summertime, we've had some really hot weather this past month, that it's really important, and it's hard to get cats to eat or to drink water sometimes. So, you know, even if you just turn the tap on whenever you see them hovering around, or
because they like that, don't they?
Yep. Or feed them wet food. Some cats, you know, always get dry food, but if they enjoy the occasional, you know, it's 80% moisture, I think, most of those canned cat food. So, you know, just try and think of ways to get that extra moisture into them. And I think that's really important for older cats especially.
And especially if you have other animals and the food is down, you need to make sure you kind of isolate that too, because you don't know who's eating what food and you can't monitor it. But I think you're right, though, that display, almost like when a senior, you know, gets, with the lack of water, hydration kind of gets dementia signs, right?
And it's, so it's, I know it's a slippery slope when they get older. It's, you know, they do, they are kind of like people that way. They just, they don't, and that's why a lot of people bring their cats to us in their senior years when they go on holidays or, you know, whatever they're up to. It's just, it's nice to have somebody keeping an eye on them. And
right. And you were saying that about our cats if we're going away, because if they're home, it's really confusing then. Especially if they're going out, because you don't know what they're going to up to anymore. They may be crossing roads they never crossed before and wonder where you've gone and get quite hysterical.
Yeah, they do. And I think, you know, people find that. They come home and, you know, the cat's done a few things. Or even, you know, silly things like, you know, you get the blowback of the door. When you open a door, it's like a vacuum. We had a client who had a cat who was caught in their bathroom for 3 days because the door closed on them. So, you know, it's just nice to have somebody.
Or I find coming home and they don't look the same anymore because, you know, if they're mad. Older. They're mad, but they've aged, you know. So how do people get a hold of you on your Facebook and your website?
Our phone number is 250-896-CATS. And our website is aspoiledcat.com.
And cats with a C?
Yes.
Excellent. Jill, it's been great having you on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
TJ, as always, lots of fun. I hope you've had a great time today, as we always do. Enjoy this long weekend. Make sure you take good care of yourself. Don't get on those roads. Of course, don't drink and drive. Enjoy your weekend. Until we meet again, talk to you soon.